I guess we should be glad that Joseph decided to sleep on it. Who knows what might have happened if he had made his decision that very night. And of course, the decision that he had to make was what to do about Mary. We know so little about Joseph, Mary's husband. The story that we read this morning is one of the few that we have about this man. What we do know is that he was a carpenter in the city of Nazareth, which is in the northern part of Israel. As was the custom of the time, he had been promised in marriage to a young woman of the town, a woman named Mary. And we would understand this as an engagement period. And of course, we find out while in this period of engagement, his wife-to-be becomes pregnant, and Joseph finds out. Now today, we would say scandal, betrayal, how dare she? But this isn't the whole story. We don't know what Joseph knew about Mary ahead of time, but we know he probably didn't know where this child had come from. And how could he? From his point of view, we have to wonder if he thought that Mary had been unfaithful to him, if she had violated her promise, if she had committed adultery, which of course left Joseph with a dilemma. What should he do now? The scriptures are clear that adultery was a crime, and it goes all the way back to the Ten Commandments. The scriptures say that this evil must be swept away from Israel, and since Joseph, as the husband-to-be, was the offended party here, it would be up to him to bring Mary before the authorities. And once before the authorities, the price for adultery was high. Mary would be executed by stoning for the crime. It was a terrible price to pay, and Joseph struggled with what to do because he knew of that result. The other option open to him was to break off the engagement, sort of a pre-marriage divorce proceedings. If he did this quickly, then Mary could be saved from the charge of adultery since she was no longer a woman engaged. But Mary would be a mother out of wedlock. She would remain for her family, and they would help her raise the child, but this would not be an easy life. She would suffer the shame of what had happened, and therefore likely never to have a husband. And if her parents should die, she very likely would be forced out of her home and have to beg on the streets. Which meant Joseph was not left with an easy choice. He was left trying to decide which way to go. The Bible tells us that Joseph was a righteous man and apparently a compassionate one as well. The legal way to handle this matter would be to bring Mary before the authorities and have her pay for her crime. But that apparently was too harsh for Joseph. The compassionate choice in his mind was to end the engagement, and he would go back to carpentry, and Mary would go back to her family. And as the Bible tells us, this was the choice he resolved to make. And it was the compassionate choice. But even this choice must have bothered Joseph, for he did not act on it right away. He could have gone right over to Mary's home and told Mary's parents that the marriage was off, that the engagement was over, that he was leaving and not coming back. But he didn't. He didn't act right away. Instead, he chose to sleep on it. Joseph is praised today, as I said, for being a righteous man, for being a just man, for being a fair man, for being a compassionate man, for making the choice he did. And I think many of us would say it was the right choice. But you know something? It wasn't God's choice. The Bible tells us that while Joseph slept, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him that he needed to make a different choice, a choice that he had not considered. The choice that Joseph had not considered was to go ahead and marry his fiancée. This was the choice the angel gave to him. For the angel told him the baby was not the product of Mary's unfaithfulness, but came about exactly because of Mary's faithfulness to God. He should not fear this child or shun his wife-to-be. Instead, he should marry this woman and raise this child as his own. When Joseph awoke from his dream, he had a new choice to make. I do feel for good old Joseph. He was in a tough situation, one he had not expected or planned. His wife-to-be suddenly tells him that she is pregnant, and he is forced to decide what to do about it. He makes the best choice he knows how to make, and he's all set to live by that choice, only it turns out his choice isn't the best choice after all. Or maybe better said, it wasn't God's choice. How could he be even expected to think of the choice the angel gave to him? No one would marry a woman who committed adultery, but here it was, the choice that God was offering him to do, the unthinkable. The unthinkable thing, and to marry the woman who was already pregnant. There are many tough choices in life. And when faced with a tough choice, we can, like Joseph, do our best to make the best choice. And yet I wonder how often our best choices still aren't God's choice. Sometimes our vision is limited by convention or custom. Sometimes our choices are limited by what the neighbors will think, and we can't even comprehend another option. And yet sometimes that's the choice God wants us to make. In the business world, they call it thinking outside the box. Joseph would call it having an angel come to you in a dream in the middle of the night. We see such choices from time to time, and each time we see them, they amaze us. Like the old downtown city church that decides not to leave the neighborhood and move to the suburbs like all the other downtown churches, but to reach out to the people where they are. The unexpected choice. The family that begins by helping homeless children and ends up adopting one of those same children. Those stories where the unexpected happens. The Bible is full of those stories as well. And the book of Acts tells us how the disciples, after the death of Judas, decide that they need to pick a new disciple to replace him. Good idea, right? They determine that the best way is to draw straws for it, and Matthias is the one who is picked, and the disciples thought that they had made the best decision. However, God had other ideas, and God goes and picks Paul to become the 12th disciple, the 12th apostle, and lo and behold, we never hear of Matthias again. See, that's how it is often. People think one way, and then God shows people a new way. Sometimes it is more subtle than that. Sometimes God's choices are simple acts of grace. In the old movie, Tender Mercies, a young widow begins a relationship with a down-and-out country music singer. Just when everything seems to be going well, the singer just up and leaves, and she has no idea where he is or how to find him. So she is left to wait for him to come back. You can imagine how she feels, abandoned, angry, uncertain, for she doesn't even know if he will come back. But he does come back. And as we're watching the movie, we expect her to launch into him, yelling at him for leaving her and not telling her where he was or what he was doing and when he was coming back. That would be a natural choice, wouldn't it? The other choice would be for the widow to make a big production of forgiving him, thanking him for coming back and telling him how much she suffered while he was gone, and making a big production of forgiving him and showing how noble she is in that forgiveness. So two common choices here. But in the movie, the young widow makes neither of these choices. Instead, the young widow offers him breakfast. Just breakfast. This was the grace-filled choice. She chose to make him feel welcome without forcing an apology or laying on the guilt. It was a simple way to say, "I'm glad you're home." Often the faithful choices are the ones that offer grace, the ones that open the door to hope. Joseph's choices of either bringing Mary to the authorities or divorcing her quietly did not leave much room for hope. But the choice to marry her and accept her child as his own, that one offered hope to a young woman. There are certainly righteous choices, and there are certainly compassionate choices, but there are the grace-filled, hope-filled choices. These are the ones that go beyond the expected and offer something more than even compassion. They offer something new and often unexpected. When we make our choices, especially our choices involving other people, God invites us to consider the decision that will bring about the most hope. When confronted with a tough decision at work, tough decision within the family, tough decision at a church, which choices are grace-filled? Which choices offer hope? How will we know when we've made that hope-filled choice? Actually, I'm not sure I can tell you. Maybe like Joseph, it will come to you in a dream. Maybe it will be that moment of aha when a new and different idea comes to you and just seems right. For me, I always pay attention to any idea that comes to me from two completely separate, different directions. And I pay attention to it, for God may be trying to tell me what the best choice is. For Presbyterians, we believe that God's will is best discovered in groups. That's why we have so many committees. And it might be in a church committee. It might be in a small group study. It might even be in a session with a trusted friend or counselor. I think the real key is to be open to the possibility of the unexpected choice. And if we are so open, we may discover the possibility of God's hope and grace. Amen.